Welcome to the Freedom RX podcast. I'm your host, Seth Conger, and today we are having a very exciting conversations with one of our partners, InBody, which is the leader in health metric solutions and measurements of functional metrics with things like grip strength, body composition, even blood pressure. These are absolutely amazing pieces of hardware and just, you know, ingenuity. I actually used this back in practice in 2017 through 2019, and it was one of our absolute favorite pieces of machinery that we had in the office. Today, we are joined by my friend and the sales manager at InBody, Bradley Davey. Bradley, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here, and we thank you for your trust in us as a partner to serve your community. I really think you guys are doing fantastic things to support the world and the evolution of healthcare.
Thank you. Well, it's been so fun over the years having you at our quarterly events, and this is really cool getting to be together just outside of Denver. You're in town, and we get to sit down and have this conversation together. We've already been jamming for about an hour, we've had some good stuff. We'll make sure to fill that back in. But let's start at the beginning, right? We're both pretty obsessed with data and data's impact on health and how you can use that dynamically through the different patient paths and programs. But really, like, what is the power of data from your lens and from InBody's lens when you're working with functional medicine practitioners?
The power of data is certainly being able to see the physiology of what's happening inside and being able to make that tangible in a way that we can take it and we can start to share some insights of what we see happening, what we might recommend that we change, and then reassess that over time to be able to see what kind of changes we've made. So that process of testing, making changes, coaching, and then reassessing again is a loop that continues over and over again that we have the opportunity to make happen in a practice. And I think the power of that is just making it tangible and real so people experience it and they see it and they feel it, and that becomes part of their care routine.
You know, it's so interesting because InBody is kind of at this intersection, right, between practitioners and their patients. You guys have an incredible user interface that kind of works across the board, and there's not many companies that are, right? Most are either business to business, and they only care about, you know, say the practitioner and giving the best experience to them, or they're direct to consumer. And you guys are squarely in both camps there of providing that great experience. How do you think about that, right? Like, how does that flow inside the offices of InBody when you guys are thinking about the different technology you're producing, the interfaces that you have, all of that?
I think it comes into what's the simplest way we can create a machine that people can assess themselves and then make the data something that's easy for them to access, easy for providers to use. So thinking about the whole ecosystem and how the data comes through in the assessments and then being able to apply it in practice. So I think we've done a great job at creating the technology that is trusted in the marketplace, easy to use, results are reproducible, and then it's just a matter of continuing to evolve the marketplaces that we go into to continue to find out how can we serve them, because not everybody uses all the outputs. Some people want different segments of it, and we have the opportunity to go in and teach them what we learn in other places across the industry as well, because we serve everything from illness to wellness and everything in between. People that are sick and they have a disease state, we have the opportunity to assess that all the way up to elite performers, where we can start to see the whole range of data. And then I think we have the greatest opportunity in the marketplace to teach everybody what we learn, because we do span such a large part of the marketplace.
Yeah, we were talking before we had the cameras rolling here about the fact that you guys were just at a dermatology conference, which is so cool, right? And the majority of our viewers are in the functional and integrative medicine space, but you guys span across multiple different industries. Like, just in the last year, how many different industry conferences have you gotten the opportunity to go to?
Myself, nearly 25. The company, wow, probably 125 different events. But I'd say we have two different channels that we think about in terms of health and wellness. and medical and academic, and then I guess three if you include the clinical research portion of it too. So it's really great to have the opportunity to see how all these different industries use the technology and are growing as well. And you mentioned dermatology. I never thought I would be going to a dermatology conference, but they're really thinking forwardly in the sense that how can we incorporate exercise? How can we incorporate nutrition into the conversation, which brings in body composition and shifts in muscle and fat and water to be able to increase adherence, increase patient outcomes, and improve our business models?
Yeah, so let's talk about that, improving patient outcomes, right? Because I think that's what every clinic wants. Or at least they say they really want to get to a point where they're able to produce the best possible patient outcomes as long as the patient does the work that is prescribed, right? That's always a key factor in there. What I found, and I'm not a doctor, never have been, was the COO of a functional medicine and brain health clinic in Charlotte, North Carolina for a number of years. When we got the InBody and we had the body composition analyzer, you know, with the handles, and we just thought it was the coolest thing, we had it in the practice generally just kind of so that we would be able to get a digital readout of the vital signs that we were normally taking, right? And that was the original thesis behind it. And all of a sudden, we realized that people were coming in more often because they wanted to get on, they wanted to see their results. We were like, hey, weight doesn't really matter. But then all of these other figures that were on the printout, and early on, we didn't have a great understanding. Of course, we brought in the reps and got a much better education on the printout and everything. And I'm sure we'll go through that today of all of the different readings on the printout. But what we were finding is that it was the number one motivator for people across all different conditions that we had, whether it was a imbalance of hormones or a leaky gut or early signs of Alzheimer's disease, that printout was the number one motivator for people to come back in the office and actually do the work that we were prescribing outside. And I just thought that was so cool. So let's jump into that, right? Because it's not just body composition now. There's so many more things I mentioned in the beginning. There's grip strength, there's blood pressure, but you guys have a whole ecosystem of equipment. And maybe before we talk about all of the different pieces of hardware and units, we jump into what they do in the first place and how you get the level of accuracy that you guys have gained.
Well, with the body composition analyzers specifically, we use a technology called bioelectric impedance. Mm-hmm. And what that means is when you stand on the scale, you have bare feet and you have two electrodes that you're standing on for each foot. And then there's an LCD screen at the top of the tower, and then there's arms that come off it, and you hold on to it, and there's two electrodes for each hand. And the measurement is sending a series of small, safe electrical currents through the body, and that happens at multiple frequencies. So it could be 1 kilohertz, 550, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 kilohertz, and they go across the body in all kinds of different directions. So we go from the right hand to the left hand, right foot to the left foot, right hand, left hand, right hand, left, or right hand, left foot, right hand, yeah, left foot, right. And we get across the body in all these different directions, which allows us to measure inside and outside the cells. So we can capture intracellular values, extracellular values, and then we can also separate the segments, and we can see the trunk value separate from the arms and the legs. And all of that together has enabled us to eliminate the use of any type of estimations based on things like your age or your gender or your activity level. So your data doesn't get skewed based upon variables that you're entering. It's based on the raw data that you're getting from the machine. And that's why we're trusted by the Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, military, professional sporting teams, thousands of clinics across the United States. They've put it to the test, and it's done a great job to help them grow their business as well. Yeah. When you talk about the adherence, it makes me think of, you know, people come in to clinics for a lot of different reasons, but when we coach them, we have the opportunity to do a lot of things. And I have an acronym that I like to use for that. It's EMACK. So efficiency, motivation, accountability, commitment, and knowledge. And as a health coach or a practitioner, we have the ability to determine what somebody might need, what kind of help they need for us. And we see the tool as a traffic director in a business to get to know somebody, where we get a baseline measurement, we can have a conversation, we can figure out where they want to go, but then we also have the opportunity to come back and continue that conversation over and over and over again. And I think in terms of scaling a practice or a business, having something that's that reproducible, somebody told me once that they said that the InBody was the most reliable employee they ever purchased because people would show up, they'd get the measurements, and to your point, it shows things to people that it helps them understand and make commitments or have something to come back to that they can trust to be able to see the changes.
Yeah, and I think that objective proof is so powerful, right? It's just an automatic pre, mid, post that you can do that is so easy, that shows very valuable information, right? You know, one of the things I learned early on was about visceral fat. And that was so cool to know that that was something that you could measure using the InBody. And it was such a powerful approximation for like what's going on with health in the body. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I think if people would have one output that they could pick on the InBody ever, yeah. I think the first one would be the visceral fat score, where we're looking at fat that's internally in and around the organs.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen a picture of visceral fat, when people get InBodies, I encourage them to have visual cues also, mm-hmm. rather than just the result sheet. Can you have a picture of a heart that has visceral fat on it and one that's also healthy to show somebody that? Because we can't see what's inside. We're making the physiology come to life in data and numbers, but yeah. Can you also have visual cues? And technically what we're showing is a cross-section of the visceral cavity. So if your trunk was a loaf of bread and we took a slice of bread out of it, mm-hmm. and we were looking down in and around the organs, we're counting the number of centimeters squared that are there. And that's an indication of somebody's health risk, cardiometabolic risk. There's so many things that visceral fat can cause in the body in terms of the efficiency or inefficiency of our metabolism, yeah. that it's huge to be able to measure that.
Yeah. So if that's the number one measurement coming out of, you know, the scale system, what are some of the others in the ecosystem of tools that you have that are just really, really on the leading edge, mm-hmm. or just really important to all-cause mortality that practitioners may not be thinking about because they're, you know, they don't have a great way of measuring it in their office?
Yeah. Let me take you back first,
yeah.
before we go forward, because if we think about how body composition originally came into place, we would have weight first. Weight is everything. Mm-hmm. And then we started to look at BMI. So now we're looking at weight over height, which gives us a ratio of our proportionality, which can give us an idea of our health risk, but it doesn't include any differentiation between lean mass or fat mass. Mm-hmm. So technology started to come out where we would show body fat percentage. We could do skinfold calipers. They started to do underwater weighing. Bod pods came out, and we're measuring lean mass and fat mass. And those technologies, they would try to guess at muscle mass or water, but they were doing it based on estimations of things like your age or your gender, activity levels.
Sure.
So there wasn't a lot of trust in the marketplace. And even the early versions of bioelectric impedance, they were just taking fractional measurements of the body. They'd take one impedance measurement from the right hand to the right foot. So they'd get one stream of resistance, and then they would also use estimations. And where we came into play in the mid-90s, we created technology that separated the body in the segments, added the multiple frequencies and the multiple frequencies of measurements, and advanced the technology to where it's at today, where we can now start to talk about things like muscle and accurately show how much muscle somebody has. And we hear so much emphasis today on resistance training or protein in the diet, protein-forward diets. And I think the next phase to this, when we talk about lean body mass, there's bone, muscle, and water as part of that. And we're generalizing that. But the fluid dynamics in the water that's inside the cells of the bones and muscles and outside in the blood and the skin and the lymphatic system. And the balance of that water can give us a lot of indications of the efficiency of somebody's metabolism and what might be happening. So if I'm getting those measurements over time and I'm applying different therapies, any modality really, medications, exercise, diet changes, I can start to look at the fluid changes because water is so essential in our bodies. Water makes up 73.3% of our lean mass. So if we got rid of your body fat mass, 73.3 typically is water. We could have more, we could have less, but everybody holds their water different. It's so different for your exercise, your diet, your lifestyle, everything that you're doing impacts your water, medications that you're on. So monitoring the fluid dynamics is the next evolution of that. People are doing it now, but I think it's going to become more mainstream over the next few years.
Yeah.
If we have anything to do with it also. And the next evolution of that, I think, will come on the cellular health level for body composition, where the technology that we're using with the bioelectric impedance is sending small, safe electrical currents through the body, and we're measuring the resistance of the cells. Mm. So this is an output called phase angle, where we can determine how strong or how permeable the cells are. And we also show other values for how much water is inside the cell or how much water is outside the cells. So this dynamic of how much is inside and outside and then the integrity of the cellular walls is what I think will really be the next evolution of that.
That's so cool. So I'm gonna pull out my phone because I actually have the InBody app. And I have been, let me see, it trends over time. So I actually have on here trending back to 2017, which is pretty cool.
Well done.
But what I've been looking at in all this time is really my body fat percentage, my skeletal muscle mass, my weight, my BMI, all of that stuff. So
how has it changed over time for you since 2017?
It's actually all moved in the right direction.
Yeah.
BMI has gone up. It's because I've put on weight from muscle, but my body fat percentage has gone down. So I think the proof is there. And I feel really good. I feel like I'm in a good spot, but I'm really curious. Is the intercellular water or phase angle on the app? Because that is something that I've never actually looked into in my own reports.
So phase angle is here at the bottom.
Right. How am there. I doing?
Phase angle looks good.
Tell the world.
It's good. This is a whole body phase angle score.
Yeah.
So for a male, generally we want it above 5.7. So
okay.
That's good.
Great.
And you tested on the 970 model.
Yes.
On here, I think.
I think the last time I tested was actually in spring at our event where we were together.
Yeah. So you have the intra extracellular water on here. So we can see those values trending. You have the extracellular water ratio. So if we divide extracellular water by total body water, most people would tell me this is like an edema score.
Okay.
So we're looking at what percentage of your water is outside your cells.
Yep.
And we can see that change over time. You have a protein score on here, so we can see how many total pounds of protein that you have in your body, total pounds of minerals, bone mineral content score. So we have a score that shows just total pounds of minerals in the bone and then total pounds of minerals in the bones and the blood.
Wow.
And we've got some body cell mass scores. So we're looking at how much is the cell and the water inside of it. I think another one that's really great, probably underutilized, gaining more popularity, is our SMI score, a skeletal muscle index.
Oh.
And that's showing us, it's adding up the appendicular lean mass. So how much lean mass do I have in my arms and my legs? And then if I were to divide that by my height, I have a ratio for the amount of lean mass that I have.
Hmm.
And it's a good indication of something called sarcopenia.
Sure.
Where we want to maintain the amount of lean mass to continue to ambulate and move as we grow and age. Yeah. And SMI score is a great replacement for something like a BMI or also something alongside of it. You know, BMI is a good general indicator, but we want to get more granular with that and go beyond it.
So this is incredibly interesting to me, and I love all of these data points. How do you go about educating the practitioners you work with? Because my assumption is they're not learning about every single one of these data points in med school. And if they did, they've forgotten about them. So you guys come along with this incredible technology. And I promise we'll get back to the ecosystem of tools that you have. But I know you spend quite a bit of time also educating practitioners, and you have other ways that you can benefit the practitioner other than just your technology.
Certainly. I think we've spent a lot of time and energy and resources to build the knowledge that we have in the marketplace, and our devices have been used in over 5,000 research studies. And wow, we've got teams that are analyzing that information and teaching us insights from all across the marketplace. And our reps are great at educating people. We try to take a more consultative and discovery approach in getting to know what somebody's doing so we can best serve them in that. And then from there, we have an academy. Once you sign up, you can come on and learn how to prepare for a test, run the test, understand the result sheets, and some evolution for us will continue to be to evolve that education to continue to go in the marketplace and find amazing groups like you to help us do that, because we show up to your events and we have the opportunity to educate and learn from you as well as teach you that. So I think we have a great opportunity to continue to interact in the marketplace and opportunities like this where we have conversations to help advance what's happening in medicine, because it's such an amazing time, I think, to be in medicine with the amount of resources that we have to be able to make shifts and the way that the data is coming together to be able to even compare outputs like we're talking about. We have body composition analyzers, which are really cool, but we also have blood pressure monitors. So we can show systolic, diastolic, mean arterial pressure, pulse pressure, rate of pulse product. And these are all different ways to create a profile for our blood pressure to look at how the blood's moving through the body, the oxygen demand, the pressure inside, which can be impacted by other things that we might see on lab testing. So if we're looking at sodium or potassium balance, or we're thinking about how might that impact the amount of extracellular water that I have. If I had a really high sodium diet and my extracellular water goes up, then how does that relate to my blood pressure? Or how does that relate to a lab test?
Wow. It's amazing how deep you guys go in each one of those areas, right? Let's talk about grip strength. Because like such a cool measurement, all-cause mortality. It is an amazing measurement of you know, health through the ages. And you guys have the coolest monitor for that.
Yeah. So if you looked on PubMed for studies on grip strength, you'd find over 6,000 of them where people have related the grip strength to some other health condition or all-cause mortality. So most people tell me it's going to become a vital sign that we want to continue to track for people alongside of it. And it's so easy to do. If you've never done it, you hold a dynamometer, it's called, and you squeeze it, and it tells you how many pounds of pressure you can generate or how much force you're generating in your hand. And if we look at that comparatively to age range, then we can see if you have a normal grip strength or you're weak or you're strong. And we can also look at the balance of that for each arm to see, is that balanced? And a lot of times we find people are dominant, which might be a little bit more and it's obvious, but sometimes we have injuries or sometimes, you know, overuse in some way creates that imbalance. And we can also relate that back to our result sheet on the body composition and shows us the segmental lean mass. So we can see how much total pounds of lean mass are in each arm as well. So we could say, do you have the same amount of lean mass? So we're looking at a quantitative value there. But is that qualitative in terms of the amount of strength that you have there as well? So these are all opportunities, I think, in my opinion, from my experience to ask questions. Because if I'm looking at your result sheet, or I'm looking at your grip strength measurements, I can ask you questions to get to know you better. And in functional integrative health, we want to look at somebody holistically. We want to look at them very individually and uniquely so that they can then choose to participate in their own health. Or maybe we find something that would indicate to us that we could have a risk in the future. So if we're looking at the balance of the lean mass, we would want to make sure that the balance between the right and the left arm is less than 6%. If it's greater than 6%, that might be an indicator that there's a risk there. Maybe there is an injury happening there, and maybe it's obvious to the patient. Sometimes it's not. For the legs, 3% or less. And then upper body to lower body or trunk, we'd want to keep it within 10% either way. But there are different cases where, say, a professional athlete, for instance, might sure. be overdeveloped in their underbody, upper body for a reason. But we have a, in that segmental section, we have a measurement of sufficiency. So there's also a percentage there next to the amount of lean mass that tells us, do you have enough lean mass to support your weight?
Talking about the grip strength, I think it would be it'd be very fun at our next event that we're at together. The founder of Freedom Practice Coaching, Dr. Charles Webb, is also a bodybuilder. And so it'd be great if we could have, like, you know, try to beat Charlie on your grip strength.
So we have a module inside another device that we have called the InBody Touch.
Okay.
And it's a grip strength challenge.
Oh.
So I think we could bring that to life in a way that it would show the people who have done the grip strength test and then their score as well.
I think this is great. This will be great for the next event.
Yeah.
Going back to the ROI with these, right? So we've talked a lot about what they measure, the science behind it. I obviously think this is really cool. I think practitioners also think this is amazing. I'm sure people nerd out on this, right? All the different metrics you can look at. And we also have to understand that there's a time component, right? This is one set of measurements. You also have labs to go over. You may have scans or other things. And you may not be able to sit down for an hour with a patient and just talk about this one thing, even if you want to. They may not even be able to remember it. Right, but there's a longer lasting ROI that is generated from these technologies. I talked a little bit earlier about how we had people come into office more often because they wanted to track their progress. Like, that's a very obvious one. But when you talk about return on investment for these units, how do you have practitioners think about that?
I would start from a frame of, is it going to be direct return on investment or indirect? And a lot of people come into the conversation thinking about it as a direct return on investment that they're going to get. But in most cases, the indirect return on investment that it yields is far greater than the direct return on investment. Because I could charge somebody to step on it and test, but now I'm creating a barrier.
Sure.
Whether they're willing to pay it or not, people will pay for it. But if I have the information, then through the lens of all this data, I have the opportunity to tell a story and engage a patient and help them understand what it is that I do that can help them to get a product or a program or a service, reoccurring revenue, a membership.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's part of your model in terms
Absolutely.
Of creating programs and memberships that we can enroll somebody in and then we can provide value. And it creates that reproducible value in there. So I think that's an important distinction to make. But there is a direct return on investment inherently in the value. And we'd say, depending on the device, anywhere from 50 to 100, or if we're adding more devices, right, we can add more value to that. Mm-hmm. We probably look in our local area and see what other people are offering it for. But in some cases, people just come in, and if it's a business, they go in and they do the test, they get a piece of paper and they walk out.
Right.
And there's no education, and it's not integrated into a care plan. So there's more value in that if you're interpreting the results or you're connecting it to all these things. Like, if we're starting to think about, you know, muscle is like a currency of aging, right? We want to fuel the muscle in our body.
Sure.
And if I go in and I see that my muscle is low, or I want to increase my muscle, and then you show me all the different ways that you can help me do that, whether it's a supplement, it's a hormone replacement, or it's an exercise program, or however you can think, whatever modality you would want to apply it to, those could be reoccurring business. If somebody trusts you enough, and this helps build that trust in the process and the conversation. So I typically encourage somebody to think about, what are all the outputs that you have? What are all the products and services that you have? And why is it important that somebody would want to change that output? Why would you want to build muscle? Why would you want to lose visceral fat? And then if you can look at the result sheet, you've got kind of a cheat sheet to say, well, if muscle is low, I'm going to tell them why muscle is important. And then I'm going to explain to them that these are the options that I have to help them do that.
Yeah, it's, you mentioned membership. It is a phenomenal option when you're trying to build value in your membership. It offers people to come back in person to use these tools, whether it is the body composition analyzer, whether it's grip strength, whether it's blood pressure, any of the, you know, the suite of tools you guys have, they can continue doing those over time. It keeps them motivated and there's no additional burden on the practitioner for that, right? It's something they can't get elsewhere. They're not going to find it at their Walgreens. They're not going to find it at their primary care provider's office, usually. Maybe you guys are in some of the more leading edge primary care providers, especially direct primary care. But it's just such a cool thing that sets these providers apart and shows that they're on the leading edge, right? They don't just have a scale. They have an in-body that can give real functional metrics behind it. And it just creates, as you mentioned, like this is the indirect ROI or return on investment that is absolutely huge, that you're going to get far more out of that than charging $50 to hop on it to get your printout.
Yeah, I think there's a group of people in medicine that won't adopt this technology, the laggards in, you know, a growth curve,
sure,
that will probably get left behind because people will go in and they won't know any different. And yeah, they're not focused on the quality of the outcome. And I think medicine is making that shift to the quality of the outcome that we're being able to achieve rather than billing. You know, yep, so many people are frustrated with the insurance system, and your company is a great example of a path for somebody to be able to make that leap and have a system, because I heard on another one of your podcasts where people aren't taught that. You're not taught how to run a business when you go to medical school. You need the support. You need the mentorship. And what a great place to get it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a great partnership that we've had. I just think the world of the company that you guys have, the tools that you've built, the education that you give the practitioners, it just seems like a very smooth process through and through. I know it was for me when we had a practice and we're going through the buying process and the process afterwards, we never had to call support. So I don't know much about the support process because the unit was flawless through the entire time, but it's just, it's a very attractive thing. It's one of the most attractive things that we have in the exhibitor hall at our quarterly events, right? People
the
run over
to
it.
So long.
Yeah. The lines are long. People want to get those metrics. They want to see it. And you can just imagine that your patients will be in the exact same spot.
Since the quarterlies are reoccurring, I wonder if there's an opportunity for us to create a longer term narrative in the data that's happening there to be able to add more value. And that's the transition I feel in my career. I've been at InBody for 9 years and it's a great company to work for. We're not perfect by any means, but we've got a good product and we have support teams and we're growing and we try to address things as they come up. But how can I go out into the marketplace and serve the market and show up in different ways deeper into the marketplace to where, imagine if we had trending values and we were helping people see those values in the narrative across time? Or how does it integrate into other technology? Maybe we can talk about, you know, softwares like EMRs and where this data is going, because it's coming into places where it's more functional, in places where we can see it and create a narrative and a story. And by doing that with the providers, that it will translate to the patients as well, because they'll come back with greater understanding of it.
Yeah, I think even just a measurement, to go back to the, you know, the attractive measurement of visceral fat, right? Showing improvements at a population level of visceral fat going down through functional medicine programs could be enormously beneficial to be, you know, taking that data out and really showing the world that this is possible, right? Like just little segments like that. And I'm always thinking about what can we do to really start working on the standards of care? What can we do to kind of take this from, oh, it's that alternative medicine that's over there, to, no, this is much more mainstream. And I think conversations like this are very helpful. Obviously, there's some moves across governmental agencies. There's some very, very loud voices across social media now that are starting to move move in the direction that I think is really beneficial for health in general, but also being able to show those metrics, right? Because testimonials, anecdotal stories, they're amazing, right? And stories sell. And it's really important to have that emotional connection. But at the end of the day, you need the objective proof. And I find that the tools you have at InBody are just about the most convenient and easiest and lowest, you know, cost if you spread it out over time, right? It's the lowest cost and most effective way to show that objective proof of this program having a really positive health effect.
I think leading from the front is important. And practitioner testing themselves also.
Sure.
And being able to show and relate it back to being able to help your network grow and learn more. The changes that we see in the result sheet are relatable to the amount of effort we're putting in. And I think a lot of healthcare providers sacrifice their own health to serve their patients. And what a great opportunity that we have to be able to help emphasize that and start to show that, to allow them to lead from the front. I think that's the greatest principle of all in medicine. If I can, it's one thing I know how to teach it to you or tell you, but if I'm leading, then it creates a whole new level of buy-in from the patient.
How do we do more of that in these spaces?
Can we add an exercise class to?
We can.
Morning exercise?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your food's been on point there. And, you know, the energy and the community is really fun. And how can we take what providers do in their practices and innovate and bring it back into that space? Yeah. It makes me think of a fitness innovator named Martin Rooney, and he runs a group called Training for Warriors. And I had the pleasure a couple years of going to his annual retreat where he would take all the best of the best things that he could teach. And for a week, he would just put his franchisees through this. And we would be invited to participate. We're working out every day. We're eating. We're going into lectures. And it was a mimic of what they would do when they go back in their business. And I think that's a really great opportunity to create an experiential space where people are participating, but they can create that opportunity to lead from the front and go back with that energy too. It's one thing to learn a lot and feel like I've got a lot to take in, but also, did I express myself in that way? And I create a loop of that.
So what is on the horizon? We talked about extracellular water. We talked about phase angle. These are beginning to become more understood. Obviously, they've been inside your products for quite some time, but even beyond that, like we've got AI coming out, making a big impact on health. What are you thinking about as the future of these functional health metrics?
Well, if we're talking about AI, it's going to come in the combination of them, and it's going to relate to the day to day changes that I'm seeing month to month, year to year, and seeing those trend graphs change. So there's a lot of technology out there that's tracking day-to-day biometrics where we can start to see those, and we can monitor changes for things like my sleep quality or my HRV, and how does that relate to the changes that I might be seeing on my body composition? How does my – I went and I exercised a lot, and I drained some of that extracellular fluid from that intracellular fluid from my muscles. Water binds with sugar. We exercise, we make energy from it, and we deplete that from our cells. And that could pool outside the cells. We could dehydrate it out of our bodies. But do I recover? And does that get back in there, into the cells? Am I putting water back in my cells? Do I have an efficient metabolism that's allowing that to happen? How does that relate to these other values that we're seeing? And I think what I'm getting at is the participatory element of the data for the patient's ability to see the numbers and then create action from it. And then also be guided by a provider that can support them in that and also understand that and coach them along the way. Certainly, we try to do a good job in our app to educate on what's there and how it's relating. Yeah. But as we think about AI bringing together all this data, what does it mean? And I hope it's more participation and insights that people can rely on.
I love that. Yeah, and that is just a aligned incentive and outcome across the board, right? For the patient, for the provider who's putting together the plan or the membership or program or whatever they have, it just is a better outcome across the board. So, Bradley, this has been a really cool conversation. I learned a bunch. I'm glad to see that you didn't have any horrible looks on your face looking at my at my app and my trending data. Looks like I'm doing okay. We'll measure again in November when we see each other at the quarterly down in San Antonio. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience about yourself, about interests, about things that you're doing, about InBody, or just your passions in the space?
If I could distill my mission in life down to a sentence, it's to share health, wealth, love, and happiness. Mm. And that's just where I try to stay. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to sit with you and chat about this and expand the partnership that we have and advance healthcare in a way, because I feel a responsibility to help create a narrative or support narratives that we have the opportunity to push forward. You mentioned there's a lot of people out there that have been banging their drums loud, and I think little by little we're making great progress.
Yeah. Bradley, where can people reach you?
Well, if we want to do LinkedIn, Bradley Davey, that's great. An easy one. Instagram, Bradley Davey Jr. InBody, Bradley.Davey at InBody.com.
Amazing. And we will post in the show notes, we have a landing page that is set up for our partnership. Mm-hmm. Those who are members of the Freedom Practice Coaching ecosystem, I believe get a nice little discount and some other benefits on there. You can always get in touch with Bradley, but you'll also be at our events that we have down in San Antonio. And this is just such a fun conversation. I'm really looking forward to the Grip Strength Challenge with Dr. Charles Webb in November that we're going to set up, and many more conversations where you and I can nerd out on data and all this fun stuff. So
yeah, practice your grip strength. Carry heavy things around.
I will
hang from things.
I'm going to do that from now until I've got a solid 2 months.
Yep.
Before the event, so I'm going to show up with huge forearms. I'm going to take the championship.
Good luck,
Bradley. Thanks so much. This is a great conversation.
My pleasure.
And for those of you who are out there listening, make sure you hit subscribe. We're going to have many more conversations with leaders in the industry, with our partners like Bradley from InBody, also members of our team and former clients and current clients. So hit the subscribe button so that you can be alerted when a new episode drops. We also have our scalability assessment, which is our version of the InBody bioimpedance body composition measures, where we can do functional metrics on your business and understand from a diagnostic point where you are in your scaling journey, not to be confused with internal scale, but this is your business scale. So check that out. We'll drop that in the show notes. And again, Bradley, thanks for your time today.